This is Rick Walker. You're tuned in to Power Talk on 89.7 Power FM. Okay, it's one of my favorite guests to have because he's not only is he a good friend, not only is he a fellow broadcaster, he worked with me years in radio. We work at the same place, but he's like a media monster missionary kind of guy. I don't even know how to describe him. Jonathan Blundell, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
What is up, Rick Walker? What is up, Power Talk? Glad to be back, man.
Yeah, now how do I describe you? I mean, you've written a novel, St. Peter's Brewery. You've been a broadcaster. You've got a Something Beautiful podcast, .com. You do a podcast. Was it weekly?
Yeah, we're doing it weekly.
Yeah, I mean, how do you describe yourself when people go, what do you do?
You know, my bullet point summary is I'm a husband, father of twin boys, a blogger, podcaster, author, and media geek.
Okay.
Who's hoping to live a simple life and follow the way.
Okay. All right. Well, that sums it up.
Elevator pitch.
Yeah, there's really not anything else to talk about. So appreciate you calling in.
Have a great weekend.
All right,
thank you.
For listening. That's going to wrap it up for. All right. No, actually, this is a very interesting topic. And Jonathan, let me toss this out at you. What happened last night? I had one of those theological discussions with my daughter around the pool, kind of thing. You know, it was awesome. But we want to talk about second chances, forgiveness, and how society, there's a battle regarding truth and morals, and society can really stick it to you if you mess up. I mean, if you mess up, think about Lil Wayne or Lance Armstrong, or think about some of the things in the news, and you'd brought those figures up, Jonathan, that society's real easy about just kicking you when you're down and never forgiving. You know, that's contrary to, as Christians, our truth and morals are say, no, it's all about love and forgiveness. And there's a conflict. There's a battle here that brews actually daily. So tell me why this topic is important for you. Why is this something we should be bringing to the table?
Well, you know, I just returned from South by Southwest in Austin. Mm-hmm. I was there for the interactive portion of things. And so it's kind of a big tech conference and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting, one night I was at a party and got to talking with this guy, and he's actually developing this app called One Story, where it's all focused on helping people record stories and share their stories, and then ultimately, you know, post them online so that people can hear them, because he's like, we can all learn from stories. And I was like, man, that's great. I personally, as a media guy, I love stories. I love telling stories. And so as we were talking about his app, he was like, you know, what excites you? What are you passionate about? And I said, you know, if I were to sum it up, I mean, all the things that I do, the thing that gets me excited is creating spaces of grace and helping people find second chances, helping share the stories of people who have found a second chance and who have made something really beautiful out of their life. I mean, you kind of hear a lot of terms that, you know, I got the Something Beautiful podcast. Well, it's about beautiful stories.
Yeah, yeah.
These spaces of grace. And I was just kind of telling him, I get fired up when I hear about someone who has fallen down and is able to, for whatever reason, maybe they did it on their own, but most of the time it's someone comes along and helps them up and picks them up, and they create something beautiful out of their life. And I think that God is a God of beautiful creations and about second chances. I mean, if you look even at the very beginning of the fall, I mean, he didn't look at Adam and Eve and say, oh man, y'all really screwed up. You disobeyed me. Zap, you're gone. He said, I'm going to give you a way out. I'm going to give you another chance. And throughout history of humanity, we have constantly screwed up and we have constantly messed things up. And God is a God that says, no, I'm still going to reach out to you and I'm still going to offer grace and forgiveness for you.
And I
just think, I feel like as a church, we're not giving that message enough. We're not sharing that message enough to people that are hurting and that need to hear you can have another chance no matter what you've done.
You know, and that's so contrary to society, especially like social media is a perfect example where you see an article of someone doing something good or something. There is so much cynicism out there. If you read all the comments below, I mean, some of these people are just, it baffles me how insensitive or unforgiving or skeptical. Cynicism is a good word, but why is it that as society, we battle the concept of forgiveness? I mean, you said forgiveness is important and second chances and grace, but why is it so hard for society to forgive? Why is there such a battle with the truth and morality of forgiveness and love?
You know, I think there's probably, depending on the situation, there's a lot of things that get involved in it. But I love the illustration that my friend gives. And he specifically targets us towards the church and to Christians, but I think in general, we're this as people, we're like this, that we're sharks in a pool of water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you think about a shark, you know, they're swimming around and they may be totally minding their own business, but as soon as they get a sniff of blood, like they attack.
Mm-hmm. It's dog pile.
Like, oh my goodness,
yeah.
This is something we can attack. And I think that as people, we are that same way, that we basically, we're swimming around, we're minding our business, and all of a sudden we see someone who's hurt, someone who's wounded, and we attack because obviously it'll take the attention off of us. People won't point out what's going on in our life because we're attacking them.
Hmm. Interesting. I always love talking, having you as a guest, interesting conversations all the time. You're listening to Power Talk. Jonathan Blundell is our guest, and you can go to his website. He has a weekly podcast, somethingbeautifulpodcast.com, and he's also author of St. Peter's Brewery, and once again, it's somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. We're talking about how, it can be difficult to forgive. And here's the poolside conversation from last night. So I'm sitting around the pool with my daughter, and we're talking about we're in one of those philosophical talking about hell and eternity and heaven and love, forgiveness. And she made a comment, and it was one of those deep questions that, you know, you just have to go, wow, really, do we have 40 hours to start this discussion? And that is the concept of hell and God's love, and how can a loving God, you know, how do you rationalize hell? And she said, Dad, I have so much, it's like I've got so much love, I don't even want, like Hitler burning in hell forever bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that for a second, and I was thinking, wow, you know, because that doesn't bother me. Maybe I'm really twisted or sick, but so after hearing that statement that, it bothers me that someone like Hitler or Osama bin Laden, to think about someone burning in hell, that hurts, that bothers me. And I thought, man, that's a deep statement right there. And that's a lot of love, because the flesh reaction is to go, no, they deserve to burn in hell for, all the millions they killed in the Holocaust or the terrible acts of terror and the cruel. And it's kind of like, but then your spirit, it is, you don't want anyone, God says he doesn't want anyone to perish. And to try to rectify that in our human mind and concept, that's a very tough thing to try to rationalize or reason out, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and I guess it was last year, or maybe it was the year before, I don't remember the time frame now, but, Rob Bell had that book, Love Wins,
mm-hmm.
and he got cut a lot of flack about saying there are other ideas about hell, there are other options out there. Now, mm-hmm. he's not the first one to bring these ideas up. It's not
right,
like he was,
right.
Boom, all these ideas came up. I mean, Christians have wrestled with these issues since the resurrection.
Yeah.
Is God really sending people to an eternal damnation with fire for eternity? I don't know all the theological answers to that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I've gotten over my certainty of it. There's so many questions that have raised in my own head.
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, but you're kind of messed up anyway, aren't you, Jonathan? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when Rob Bell's book came out, my point was that I told several people was, I don't know what hell looks like exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what eternity, I don't even know what heaven looks like exactly. But I hope in many ways that Rob Bell is right in his idea that there may be an out,
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
there may be an option for that people don't have to spend eternity in hell. And I hope that that's true. There's something inside of me. I guess it's my spirit, kind of like your daughter, perhaps.
Yeah, no, you don't want to think anyone has to go to hell. That's terrible.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
But the flesh side, definitely, I relate to people in a give and take relationship. I relate to you in a give and take relationship. Mm-hmm. I relate to my wife in a give and take relationship. I relate to my kids in a give and take relationship. And if I feel like I'm giving too much to a relationship and I'm mm-hmm. not receiving anything back, then all these flags start waving. I'm like, oh, wait, something's out of balance in this relationship. Something's wrong in this relationship because I'm pouring everything into this relationship mm-hmm. and I'm not getting anything back.
Right, right.
And what's amazing is God's relationship with us doesn't work on that same balance.
Mm-hmm.
God's relationship is, I'm going to pour anything, everything I've got into this relationship, regardless of how you respond to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unconditional love, isn't it? Yeah. It's unconditional love. It's God is love. And, so let's bring it back to the forgiveness issue, the hurt. Okay. The Lance Armstrong, the Lil Wayne, all the little digs that people love to, like you said, the sharks, they smell blood. And we, as a society, but now let's bring it home to you, to me, to people listening. Somebody hurts somebody in your family, or you get hurt. Maybe it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, but there's something that happens that brings so much hurt and pain. It's hard to forgive sometimes. It's hard to go, oh, hey, we have to forgive. God wants us to forgive. And, in golf, we call it mulligans. You mess up the shot. Well, I like to golf with like one mulligan per hole kind of thing. But, why should I forgive this person? I mean, look at what they did. They hurt me so badly. I mean, why should I? I mean, why is it so important that we forgive?
I think because at some point we're going to need forgiveness, or at some point we've needed forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I get into those situations and I'm thinking, man, I really don't want to give this guy a break. I really don't want to let her off the hook for what she did to me. I have to think back to me and how many times God has let me off the hook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard for us to give what we haven't already received. So if I haven't received love myself, it's very hard for me to turn around and give that to someone else.
Hmm.
But when we focus on what we've really been given, then I'm so much more able to give that to someone else. I mean, it's kind of like the waterfall is just flowing on me. Obviously, at some point, my clothes are going to get soaked and it's going to start falling off and it's going to make a big puddle around me because there's so much falling on me. When I can focus on how much God has forgiven me and loved me, then in turn, it makes it that much easier to forgive someone else. It makes me that much easier to say, okay, God has let me off the hook. Or this, maybe, hopefully it's someone in your life. Maybe mm-hmm. it's your wife or your parents or a coworker or mm-hmm. a boss mm-hmm. or someone else. Someone else has given you a second chance. And so in turn, it's that much easier for you to give a second chance.
Mm.
A really great story that I like to share is, and this is a very personal story, but a family member of mine was really hurt by their husband and just felt like they had been lied to. And it kind of came out that they had been lied to for several years. Like, it wasn't just a one-time thing, mm-hmm. One big lie. It was something that had been basically drawn out for several years. And when they told me this, my first reaction was, man, you need to get out of this relationship right now. You don't deserve to put up with this. You don't deserve to have to live through this. But I tried to stay quiet as they told me the story, and to hear them say, but I'm going to fight for this.
Mm-hmm,
I'm going to work it through, and I'm going to give them another chance. I was like, that's what we should be doing. That's what, our first response shouldn't be, even though it naturally is, our first response shouldn't be get out of this, you run away and let them deal with the repercussions. No, it's, I'm going to fight for this relationship relationship matters more to me than anything else. Because as Christians, we're called to be reconcilers. God says, I want you to reconcile people back to me. And how can we do that if we're not reconciling the relationships between one another?
Hmm. Yeah, well said, well said. You're listening to Power Talk. Jonathan Blundell is our guest. He is author of St. Peter's Brewery, a novel. Also, he hosts the Something Beautiful podcast, and you can find that at somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. Jonathan, last week I was blown away by a guest we had on Power Talk was talking about his past, And he said he went through the Celebrate Recovery, the 12 steps, mm-hmm. and he was a racist. And he said, he was just very frank with us last week, and he was sharing his personal story. And he said, I hated black people. I couldn't stand them. I had, he was mean. He would pick fights. He felt uncomfortable around him, and he kind of grew up in this very racist home, and he had real struggles with it. And so he was going through this 12-step program, recognizing his weakness, and he said he was working on this, you know. But it was a struggle. It was tough. He was working on it, and it was a Christmas Eve service. And they had different ethnicities doing like little dances, different dances. And a group of Kenyans got up to do this dance. And he said it's like God just touched his heart. And he just broke down and started crying, realizing, you know, how he needed forgiveness in his life. But then he thought, how do I forgive a whole race? I mean, how do I ask forgiveness from a whole race of people? You know, and he felt so heavy and burdened. And he said this little old lady next to him was patting him as he's crying, thinking, oh, he loves the music or something. But but he was so touched. So he looked up it's a very large African-American church behind Fair Park. And I forgot which one it was, but he told us and he made an appointment with the pastor. And he said he met with that pastor and he began telling him his story. And he said he wanted to go down to Fair Park, where there's a heavy African-American population, talk to the black pastor and just tell him and basically confess. Mm-hmm. So he confessed all the racist feelings and all the things he had done in the past, all the bad things and how God was dealing with him, and just began to cry and just so, you know, feeling remorse and wanting forgiveness. And the pastor was so gentle and got up and gave him the biggest hug and didn't say, I forgive you. He said, we forgive you. And he said at that moment, forgiveness filled his heart. And he said it was different. Like, he no longer felt threatened. He felt love and compassion, and he no longer felt, he didn't have the racist attitudes. And that's the power of forgiveness, mm-hmm. is it releases you of what's holding you down, what you are a prisoner to. When you can forgive somebody, mm-hmm. it is such a relief. And he said it was like just 1,000 pounds lifting off his shoulders. And 1 John 1 talks about if we confess our sins, he forgives us. And there's something powerful about confession and forgiveness, isn't there?
Well, and not just if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. I mean, there's a second clause to that. If we confess our sins, he forgives us and will heal us.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's healing in the forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I've stolen this quote from someone else. Most of my stuff is probably stolen from someone else, so I'm asking forgiveness now. But someone said, refusing to forgive someone is like drinking poison and hoping that it hurts the other person.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's good.
So that,
yeah.
And that's what we do is, and I've lived that. I've been in a place where someone has hurt me or someone has hurt a loved one.
Yeah.
And it builds on me. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't want to see that person. I'm like, every time their name comes up, I'm like, oh, I just like cringe. And the other person is going about their life. They have no idea that I'm ticked off at them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've had to go back and I've had to tell people, hey, I'm really sorry that I'm, you know, mad about this. Will you please? And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't remember that happening, or, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
they've
gone on about their life, but for the last 5 years,
it's poisoned you.
Eat me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it poisoned you from the inside. And that's a perfect way to phrase it. If you hold on to bitterness and you don't forgive, and this is a battle in society, because society, they'll hold on to that poison, and it's just human nature and flesh to go, no, they messed with me. I'm not going to ever forgive them. What a powerful quote. You know, you're drinking poison to hurt the other person. Well, that's, yeah, not going to happen. Go ahead.
Kind of on your same story, and this is a pretty powerful story that I've shared other times as well. Kind of a flip side of this, but I don't know if you're familiar with Reverend Wade Watts. He was president of the Oklahoma chapter of the NAACP, I want to say late 60s, maybe to...
Okay.
Late 80s. Mm-hmm. So he was invited in the late 70s to do this television debate with the grandmaster of the KKK at the time.
Right,
so
right.
Reverend Watts is an African-American. He's involved in the NAACP. He's basically being invited to debate this guy who's a member of the KKK.
Mm-hmm.
So they met at this TV station, and the grandmaster of the KKK walks in, and he says later, he says, I walked in with this mindset. I had this stereotype of who I was going to meet. He said, I thought I was going to meet this big black militant with a huge African fro and African garb and this button that said death to whitey. Like, he already had
right.
this mindset who he was going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so he walks into the studio, and Reverend Watts is there, and he's in this nice suit, and he holds out his hand to the grandmaster, and he's like, well, hello, Mr. Clary. He's like, I just want to tell you that I love you and Jesus loves you.
Wow.
And so the member of the KKK is kind of like, okay, and he doesn't know what to do, and so he shakes his hand,
mm-hmm.
and he like freaks out. He's like, oh my goodness, I've just broken the Klan law. I've shaken the hand of the infidels, or this, you know, this person who's dirty. And so he's like staring at his hand, and Reverend Watts looks back at him. He's like, don't worry, Johnny, it won't come off. And so you know, he's coming at Reverend Watts is coming at this guy with love, and
love.
He's like, you know, God bless you, Johnny. He said, I love you. He said, no matter what you do, you can't do enough to make me hate you. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to pray for you whether you like it or not. Like, that was their first inclination. And rather than saying, you're the KKK, I'm the NAACP, let's fight about it, Reverend Watts said, no, I'm going to love you. And the KKK guy was just, like, furious about it. So he obviously went after him. And there's all these funny stories about how the KKK came after Reverend Watts after this point. Like, they tried to burn his church.
Wow.
They set up a cross in his yard and caught it on fire. And Reverend Watts came out and was like, boys, you know, if you want me to bring out some hot dogs and marshmallows, if y'all are having a barbecue, I'll be glad to bring that out. I think the turning point for me in the story, and it's probably for the Clary, who is the KKK guy, he says that Reverend Watts was at this restaurant, and it was a segregated restaurant, but somehow he was in there eating chicken or something, and the guy from the KKK walks in, and he's like, you need to get out of here. You shouldn't be in here. This is a white-only restaurant. You know, you shouldn't be in here. And he said, in fact, I tell you what, whatever you do to that chicken, I'm going to do to you. And so, you know, threatening him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Watts looks down at this piece of chicken, and he picks it up and gives it a big kiss. And so he said after that, the Klan left Reverend Watts alone. He said the whole KKK, you know, that was with him, like, all cracking up, falling over and stuff. But it was those acts of love that actually turned Clary around, and he later denounced the KKK. He ended up being the godfather of one of Reverend Watts' daughters. He ended up preaching in the church where Reverend Watts was.
Wow.
And it was because Reverend Watts decided, I'm going to love and forgive this guy.
Love through the hate.
Oh, he's doing everything he can to destroy me and my community.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing story of love and forgiveness. You're listening to Power Talk on 89.7 Power FM, and we're with Jonathan Blundell. He is author of St. Peter's Brewery, and you can also go to his website, somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. Great discussion. We have just a few more minutes, and a while ago I was trying to remember if you were we did Lighthouse 21 for years, and we had Steve Saint on. Was that during your time? Do you remember the Steve Saint story at all?
The name sounds familiar, but I can't place the story.
It was a movie that was out a few years ago called End of the Spear, and there was a tour that Steve Saint did with Minkaya was his name, and this was the most powerful story. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, End of the Spear. Amazing story of love and forgiveness. And we had Minkaya and Steve Saint right here in the studio where I'm sitting now, and talking about Steve Saint was a missionary kid, and basically his father was murdered, and Minkaya was one of the tribal people that murdered his father. And years later, Steve Saint came back to, and Steve was just a little boy when his father was murdered. And anyway, he came back to the mission field where his father was murdered, and he met Minkaya, and Minkaya thought, uh-oh, he's coming back, because it's customary to take vengeance, and to, you know, they just didn't forgive. If someone killed your family, then you would get killed, and they you know, take your medicine, here it comes. And mm-hmm. so Steve took him down to the place where his father was killed, and Minkiah kept thinking, okay, this is it. He's going to, you know, spear me in the back of the head, and this is it. And Steve basically prayed with him and told him, I forgive you. And, you know, and it was such a powerful, moving story. But I was so moved by that someone that is so hurt, that they'll have some kind of supernatural strength to dig inside and say, you know what, I forgive you. And when you say those words, there's something that happens. There is. It's a release. It's amazing. And it's contrary to society's morals and how they operate. But you know what? As Christ followers, that's what we are commanded to do, that we are to forgive. And that's hard. That's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that we always think that forgiveness is about the other person, but the idea of drinking poison stuff, that shows that forgiveness is really about something we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can start to see others as children of God, created in the image of God, as that we're created in the image of God, we start realizing that when we forgive someone, we're becoming our God-created selves. Like, that's truly who we are, because God is love.
Mm-hmm.
We are of God, or at least we claim to be of God. And so in forgiving others, we're being who God created us to be. We're becoming more the image of God.
Yeah.
And boy, that is something that society doesn't see a lot of.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
true.
That if they could see more of it, man, that would change how they see us. And it would change how they see God and how they see love and forgiveness. And I just think that's a true weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we can start loving people like that, That destroys a lot of barriers. It destroys a lot of walls that we put up. It destroys a lot of stereotypes. If we could just love like God loves, it would truly destroy so much hate in the world.
Boy, well said. And it's so needed in society that lacks the moral fortitude that, you know, we look around in our society. We see it so, you know, it just seems like there's so much corruption and wickedness and violence. And, you know, day after day, we hear about shootings and mass, you know, just terrible things going on in the world. And you're right. We need the love bomb to blow off.
Yeah.
And you just, yeah, absolutely.
Insurgency of love.
There you go. Well said, man. I appreciate all the time. We're about out of time, but I want to leave you with a last thought. Anything you want to leave us with?
Well, I'll leave you with two passages from John. And of course, John, we know that he was the disciple that, you know, he said, I was beloved. That Jesus. So it was very powerful to him that Jesus loved him. And so in John 13, John is describing what Jesus said to them. He says, let me give you a new command. Love one another. And of course, we've heard Jesus say, you need to love other people. You need to love people as yourself. But he says, this is a new command, love one another, not just love one another as yourself, but in the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciple. When they see that you have love for each other. And finally, John 15:2, this is my command, love one another the way I loved you, not the way that you want to or the way that you think is best, but love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends.
Mm. Boy, that's powerful. So it's by our love that people know we are Christ followers, that we are his disciples, and powerful scriptures. Great way to close things out. Jonathan Blundell, our guest this evening, once again, his novel, St. Peter's Brewery. Now, is there information on your novel on your Something Beautiful podcast website?
You know, I couldn't tell you.
You could.
if people want more information, there is a website for it. They can just do a search for St. Peter's Brewery.
Okay.
And that should pull up. But stpetersbrewery.info is the specific website for the novel.
Okay. And the podcast is somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. So you
Correct.
Can check it out. And you can also check out his novel at stpetersbrewery.info. Well done, sir. As always, I always enjoy having you on, and we need to have you back on here pretty soon. We'll do a live show, take some phone calls. I'd love to do that.
Very good. Sounds good, Rick. Well, I appreciate it. And
okay.
Thanks, everybody, for listening in.
Okay. God bless. We'll see you. And that's going to wrap it up for Power Talk. Appreciate your time. We will see you next Sunday right here on the Christian Rock Station.